It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Josh Verner in 18 minutes here with us on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you all as well on this gloomy Monday.
It is kind of gloomy out there today.
What's the dinner plans on a day like today? You ain't grilling. Eh, maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not.
I actually have some cowboy and cowgirl grillers from Hy-Vee that I made yesterday left over. I'll probably eat that today.
It's a solid leftover option. Are you some asparagus again today?
Yeah, I think for lunch at least. I got to text the woman, see what she wants to do for dinner.
The woman.
Her name is Hannah. Don't say the wife and all that kind of stuff. Like, just say her name.
I'll text Hannah.
Yeah.
She thought I was 27.
She thought you were 27?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mac's dad thought I was his age. Which is what? Your dad's like 80?
Yeah, about that. Yep.
I thought you were my age. I'm like, I'm 48, bro. How old are you? He's like, I'm 60. I'm like, we're not even close. We're not even in the same ballpark.
No, not even in the same ballpark.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Look at Mac. Yeah, he's all right.
Guy.
Really?
No, dad's a good guy.
Really going full MJ Melendez right here. Bases loaded, set you for success, woman. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
0-2.
I'll ask the woman and my dad say, eh.
No, dad's great. Dad's great. I'm really glad he got to meet everyone. That was like, fun.
Yeah, that's for lunch. Well, then, yeah, there's not going to be anything left for dinner if you go in there and soup lord it.
That's what's going to happen.
What kind of soup did you make?
Potato.
Hey. Yeah.
Well, maybe you make some more. I mean, just because you run out.
That's true.
Make a new batch.
Yeah, it's
because we're getting into out of soup season now too. So finish it off. And hey, sorry, I mean you should have taken it for lunch if you wanted it.
Damn, I like this guy said groceries are so expensive. We're doing hamburger helper tonight. Praise be.
Hey, that ain't bad.
Italian shells. That's what you go with. That's the order for hamburger helper. Now I want hamburger helper.
What were you saying you had, Bob? Cowboy. What was it?
Cowboy grillers and cowgirl grillers. They were on sale a couple of weeks ago at Hy-Vee. Bought a bunch of them. Stuck them in the freezer. Got them ready to go. Chicken breast.
Stuffed with cheese. Wrapped with bacon.
Yeah. Oh. Some of them have jalapeno. They're all different. They're fantastic. Yeah. They're great.
Sign me up at Hy-Vee.
Absolutely. Okay, they're fantastic. Great. They got a bunch of different chicken grillers. They got the cowboy, the cowgirl. Mm-hmm. They got a Hawaiian. They got a bunch of different
ones. I think cowboy is just because it's
jalapeno.
Jalapeno. Right?
Yeah. That's what I've told the kids yesterday. They go, what's the difference? I said, well, one's a cowboy and one's a cowgirl. We're like, okay. I go, I think the cowboy has the jalapeno on it. The cowgirl does not. But they're very good. Very tasty. Wrapped in bacon, stuffed with cheese.
Yeah,
some of them have a ham slice in between. Oh, they're tremendously awesome.
No, they're good. Yeah, they're awesome.
Had some asparagus yesterday. Got some of that left over as well.
Nice.
Indirect heat when you grill those.
Okay.
Because you put them directly to the flame, all the stuff.
All the stuff.
Out.
Yeah, I cooked them in the oven.
That's
inside.
Also the way to do it.
Just easier that way.
Gotcha. You can also just like pan sear real quick and then oven the rest. They're good. They're actually really good.
Yeah, just put them in like 350 for 25 minutes and just forget about it. Be done with it. They're good. They're tasty. They're delicious. They're wonderful.
A shot.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
I'm Guy Fieri, and we're rolling out. This is America's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Brought to you by Hy-Vee and their chicken grillers.
No doubt. Don't sleep on the turkey tenders either. But I do want to bring up this because you guys were discussing the future of Rick Barnes.
The winningest coach in the tournament right now to never win, right?
The title.
Yeah, 836 wins, and he's never made a Final Four. Sure seems like the game's passed this guy by.
Never made a Final Four with Tennessee, correct? Didn't he make one in...
With Texas.
Yeah. Did he make one with Texas?
Or was 2003, because I looked it up.
Okay.
Was that the T.J. Ford year?
Yeah, I don't know, because it would have been before P.J. Tucker, before Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Texas definitely went to a Final Four. Yeah. I'm pretty sure T.J. Ford was
Barnes there, or was that before Barnes when they had Tom Penders as their coach? I think Rick Barnes was that coach in 2003.
Pretty sure he was.
Yep. Yeah. And then he's gone 0-4 in the Elite Eight since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, what was Tennessee before Barnes got there?
Nothing.
You also played a one seed in Houston, who a lot of people said from the jump they were going to win the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say Tennessee's a big university with big expectations, and it seems everyone is doing stuff around that university other than the basketball team. And again, Elite Eight's great. World Series is, you want it. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, leave them on their own. What's the football team actually?
Jeremy Pruitt's got that thing moving in the right direction at Tennessee with their football team.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you look at, you look at their head coach, right? Like, more and more scrutiny will come because they will expect more and more games to be played in the playoffs, be a team that can get there, have a chance to win a national title. He's had three really good successful seasons, Heupel?
Heupel, yeah. This will be his fourth successful season if it goes well.
If it goes well. A lot of people thought 2 years ago that was like the turning. And here's Rick Barnes. Your team's back. Now he's going to lose a lot of guys. Like Lanier's gone. Yeah,
Lanier's gone. Yep. We'll see if Mayshak's gone.
In all seriousness, though, do you get less of a pass now at a big university in the era of NIL as a coach?
We'll see.
Because I was sitting behind nitwits the other day at an event about Bill Self.
Oh, there's panic.
I mean, these people, it was a group of four. It was a husband and wife and then one of their parents, right? And I'm listening, and I actually had to move my seat because I was so mad. I was so aggravated listening to these people talk about how the game has passed Bill Self by and his assistants don't do anything on the bench and they need to be more active. And I'm listening to all this, getting angry, realizing these are four of the most spoiled human beings I've ever been around, sitting here complaining about Bill Self. But I ask, because now we've got these big time programs. I heard these people bitching about Self. People in Tennessee will probably start complaining. He can't win the big one, as we know, with Marty and all that. Does the, I don't know, the leash get much shorter now at these big-time programs because of the NIL and because of the transfer portal where people expect an instant fix right away?
I think you're getting less chances.
What is it you always say about college athletics, that it's the boosters and those people that, like, get the conversation started?
Yeah.
I think it just depends on how long they get, selfish and hungry to be back in the top. Like, I mean, I think this is a year where a lot of teams that are blue bloods are frustrated because all four number ones are in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Duke.
Right.
It is Auburn, who's not a blue blood, but they're a big university.
Big time university.
Florida.
They
won a title this year. I think you put them in the conversation.
They got to be on that outside looking in, that Villanova type category. You know?
100%.
I mean, that's three titles in the last 25 years, right? They won back-to-back in 2006 and 2007. And then they would win this one this year if they do win it. That'd be three titles in 25 years.
That's impressive.
That's pretty
With different amazing, coaches right? reloading.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee be like, I want some of that.
Please, right. Just one chance, man.
But how much of college sports, and again, I'm just asking these rhetorical questions, if you will. Maybe they're not rhetorical. Maybe they're legit questions. How much of a successful program now is based on the coach versus based on the boosters writing the check? Because if I'm a coach and the pressure's on me to win, then you better write some checks.
Or you've got to figure out what some people are doing right that others aren't. Like, if you took Dennis Gates' year this year and said, what did he do so right to get that sort of team to fit? Oh, he recruited in these areas because he knew that maybe that's what it is. And then I think some of it is luck. because you might recruit a kid that comes to your school, and then all of a sudden they've got a really good friend that you didn't recruit that actually played well at University, and all of a sudden say, hey, my buddy Roderick over here can actually play really good ball. He kind of wants to go somewhere else. Do you want to bring him in? And all of a sudden that brings you in two for the price of one.
Sure.
So I think there's a little bit of that. I think there's a little bit of just like people are like, yeah, I don't have to go to Kansas now because that's the only place giving money. I can go to Tennessee. I can go to Houston. And Calvin Sampson, who's been doing this for years, now it's legal for everybody. And yeah. I think that's the other part about it, too, is like you can say what you want about the, you know, Adidas money. It's a massive advantage for Kansas.
It was.
And now it's not.
Right.
And now you've got to understand, okay, like, how do I bring this back? Like, Tom Izzo's still doing it. He got to an Elite Eight. Rick Barnes got to an Elite Eight.
Right? Yeah.
Patino figured out in 1 year.
I mean,
St. John's
had one down, if you will, season.
Two.
Where the guy that you had, you know, put all your hopes and dreams on was a stick in the mud. I mean, there's no other way to say it. That Dickinson stunk.
And
or
I think,
Dickerson or whatever his name
I think
was.
There's also the fact that you need to, like, maybe self needs to look there and be like, okay, this is what did work. This is now what needs to work. And I need to figure this way out. I would trust that Bill Self could figure that out with the support that he has around his team. Plus, again, you go back to it. You're effing Kansas.
Yes, like, yeah, right.
Duke's
exactly,
in the Final Four. You'll be back to one.
You'll be fine. Like, Kansas is going to be just fine. If you don't have faith in Bill Self, then you shouldn't probably have faith in just about anybody in college basketball at this point in time. But I just wonder how much is on the coach, how much is on the boosters, how much of the seat gets turned up, how much they expect to win right now. Because if you're a booster and you're shelling out all this money and your team isn't winning, that's a waste of money. Like, that is a colossal waste of money. You might as well just flush it down the toilet at that point in time.
Winning it all or winning just in general?
Well, I don't know. Tennessee, Final Four.
Because that's kind of what I'm asking as
college
a Tennessee
football,
fan.
Like right now, I think in college football, you just make the playoff, you're
make
good.
The playoff.
And I think in college basketball, you make the Final Four. Like, that's when you get that street cred.
So I'm allowed to be upset then?
Yes.
Well, I think you could be disappointed. Yeah, what were you expecting, though, this season for your team?
I mean, I kind of said if we don't make a Final Four, I'm kind of like I'm ready
when
to be done.
When did you have that expectation?
I mean,
we were
number one for the first month of the season.
Okay.
We didn't lose.
Yeah. Okay, so going back all year long.
Yeah.
So now you're looking, I guess where you were, what your expectation was, this is a disappointment.
Been about
you
a
probably
decade.
Put more ink on that when you went to the SEC final and the SEC tournament. Like, that's another big stage.
Yeah, it is.
Plus, you were a two seed. Two seeds make Final Fours.
It's okay to beat a one seed and make it into the Final Four. You just got to do better than having 15 points in the first half.
It's one of those things where it's like
did they
Marty
practice shooting before that game?
They forgot. Yeah.
So did Alabama when they played Duke. They put all their chips in a basket in the Sweet 16 game. Got to the Elite Eight.
Ugh, yikes.
Duke wins again by 20. That's insane. They beat Baylor by 20, and now they beat Alabama by 20.
One of the best teams I've ever seen right
and
now.
Here comes Houston.
That's going to be a fun game.
Duke's, great game.
Duke's played Arizona. Is that right? They played them in the second round?
Yep.
Then they played Baylor. That couldn't be right. Yeah.
No, they played Baylor. Yeah.
Yeah, they played Baylor, and then they'll play Houston. So they just completely wrecked the Big 12.
That's true.
Play Arizona, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Second round?
I thought so.
To go to the Sweet 16?
I thought that
was
it.
To beat Baylor in the Sweet 16?
No, Baylor in the Sweet 16 was last week, wasn't it?
So that would have been Sweet 16, right? No, that was this week.
No, that was this week.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I feel like they beat Baylor last week.
Why do I feel like Duke played Arizona?
Because they did about 20
years
ago.
Oh, they played Arizona after? Did they play Arizona after Duke? Or after Baylor?
Yeah, after Baylor.
So they played Baylor,
Arizona, Alabama, beat by 20.
Yeah.
And then,
beat Baylor by 20. What did they beat Arizona by?
7. That one
was
actually kind of close. It was close, but like they were in control
They were in control the whole time, right? You never felt like they were going to lose that game.
No.
I think
And that's the one where Cooper Flagg went off with like 30-some points or something like that, right? On Thursday night.
The last game that they felt like they were going to lose was the semifinal of the ACC tournament to UNC.
Right.
Arizona, according to Texas, the only team that's covered against Duke.
Wow.
I wonder what that line is against Houston. You think it's
4.5, I thought.
Is that what you saw?
4.5? Damn. It's kind of enticing.
So you just take Duke?
I mean, I don't want to.
Why?
I think Houston's got a good matchup.
4.5. Florida by 2.5 and Duke by 4.5 is the current lines.
Oh, Florida's? Auburn. Take him.
Also, to our conversation, we need to get to a break. We're late. Go look at the ages of all the starting five for Auburn and tell me if he's doing the portal. go look at the ages of Auburn players.
When they're in their mid-20s.
They're all like 23, 22, 24.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Come Love to my it. Barbecue. It's legal now.
That's right.
Coming up on the other side, we get to the sophomore album. Josh Verner here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Legit question during the break. Conversation okay. taking place.
Ask Vern.
If the Watergate break-in took place at the Days Inn, what would we be calling everything? Spy Inn? Mm-hmm. Deflate Inn?
Mm-hmm. Good thing it's not Howard Johnson.
I know, yeah.
Spy Johnson.
Now, let's get, we can't be doing that. It's a family show.
It's fair.
Deflate Johnson. You better call Harlan Menzel if that's happening.
All right, it is 8:20 on a Monday. Didn't think that's how we were going to segue into...
why not?
Vern Inn or Vern Gate. Let's talk a little fastball gate. Vern, what did that think? What did that go on through your head? Obviously, the concern strikes first, but after you have some time to kind of sit back, hear Vinny Pasquantino's comments and see it for yourself, what does one Josh Verner believe is going through his head after watching Classe peg Jonathan India in the left side of the face?
Well, I can tell you, I would venture to guess that Emmanuel Classe slept perfectly fine last night, right? These two teams face each other not this upcoming weekend, but next weekend, and I think it benefits Cleveland, right? You have to command the inside part of the plate, and if I can get in, maybe our closest rival in the division, the team most likely to top us and take the crown in the American League Central from us as the Guardians, yeah, why not set up shop in the head of this? Well, they're not a young Royals team, but as far as the statement that they made last year, they are young. They're young on the scene. They're young as far as being true World Series contenders. So do I think he meant to hit Jonathan India in the helmet? No, I don't. I do think he meant to throw that ball on the inside part of the plate. And if it hits Bobby Witt Jr.'s hand or elbow, if it hits Jonathan India's elbow or shoulder or helmet, so be it. Let them think about retaliation. Let them think about anything other than winning the game the next time these two teams meet. Now, I'm not saying that the Royals are going to fall for that bait, but we saw this happen back in 2015 with the Royals, where they're getting tested early on. You know, welcome to the haves in Major League Baseball. Of the haves and have-nots, the Royals are now just like they were in 2015. You made your point the season before. Okay, now you want to bang with the big boys. You want to say you're the best in the American League or the best in the American League Central. All right, we're going to see if you're really about it. You know, we're going to pound that ball on the inside part of the plate and see if your pitchers have your back. See if we can get in your dome, as Ned once said. I don't think he did it on purpose, but I don't think anybody in a Guardians uniform is losing any sleep about it. As a matter of fact, they're probably happy that it happened so long as Jonathan India is all right.
So let me ask you this now, Vern. Being that they said the Royals were crowding that inside part of the plate and they're going to take that back, do the Royals now have to adjust and move off the plate, or do they stay on top of the plate and make the other pitchers adjust to them? Like, what's the next step in this, I guess?
No, you don't move. If you're okay. Bobby, if you're Vinny, if you're Jonathan, in my opinion, you don't move. What you do is when Lucas Erceg or Angel Zerpa or Hunter Harvey is on the hill, the next time Kwan or Manzardo or Jose Ramirez or take your pick, you paint the black inside, and if it drifts in and hits them in the elbow or the shoulder or the head, so be it. You know, I'm not trying to be the old school baseball fan, but back in the day when, you know, it was an eye for an eye, you know, the opposing pitcher, the Emmanuel Classe of this conversation, when he would hit someone like Jonathan India, he knew that he was also hitting one of his players because the other team was going to come back at him the next time they met up. So, no, to me it's on Royals pitching when they believe there's ill intent behind something or a deeper message being sent by the opposition. Again, not saying that Klaase meant to do it, but he did mean to dominate the inside part of the plate. No, you need to show that Cleveland dugout that, hey, you best be careful with the Royals or else Jose Ramirez is going to wear one. And we all know, just like Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City, Cleveland's offense only goes as far as Jose Ramirez carries it. So no, I wouldn't change anything about my approach at the plate if I'm the Royals. I just need to send that message back if it is indeed needing to be received by the Cleveland Ball Club.
What do you think of Vinny's message in the postgame press conference that I know you played on your show after it was over and done with? But obviously the dudes in that locker room, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino continues to show that he's got this team on his back as well.
Yeah. Vinny, the mouthpiece of this team. And I was, man, without sounding like an old guy, I was proud of Vinny, the way that he handled it, because you could tell at first he wanted to sound off and, you know, verbally fight the Cleveland Guardians and talk some trash about Emmanuel Klaase, but cooler heads prevailed in a moment where it's difficult to allow cooler heads to prevail, right? Vinny's talking to the media, you know, 7-10 minutes after one of his buddies on the team just wore 99 on the helmet. But you can see Vinny collect himself, listen to his own inner monologue, utilize the filter, and speak properly to the media. No, by the end of that soundbite, as he was talking to Annie Rogers yesterday of MLB.com, by the end of that soundbite, I think Vinny was the consummate pro, right? Mm-hmm. I know they didn't do it intentionally, but it sucks to see one of your guys get hit. Again, I feel the exact same way. I don't believe that Stephen Vogt or Emmanuel Klaase or, you know, Vinny got hit earlier. They brushed Bobby back a few times. That's what you need to do against the Kansas City Royals, because if you don't do that, Vinny and Bobby are going to beat you. No, you need to do something to, shove them back. And now the onus is on the Royals to push back when they go to Cleveland coming up in about 10 days.
So what is the latest that we know about Jonathan India? How severe is it? Is he going to miss time? What do you think? And I know it's early in the day, but like just kind of your gut right now.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if we see him in there. Certainly not today. Tomorrow's a night game and then another afternoon game on Wednesday. Latest update is what we heard from the team PR yesterday, is they believe it's non-concussive, but they're going to take a few days to evaluate. And listen, man, you look at those first three games in Cleveland, and we could talk about starting pitching. We can talk about just how painful that opening day loss was, but we also have to talk about, an offense that two out of the three games had a 4 or 5 inning stretch where they didn't touch the Cleveland pitching. They didn't collect a legitimate base hit. So to lose a guy that in the past 2 days is a combined 3 for 6 in reaching base 6 times in the past 2 games, losing Jonathan India puts you in a pretty rough spot. But again, if they believe it's non-concussive, and again, that was right after he was still undergoing tests, that would lead you to believe that he's not going to need the 7-day concussion IL, and hopefully you can have him back when they return home to face Baltimore on Friday.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier in the show, Vern, as I was looking ahead of the schedule. Pretty big gauntlet here to start the season. Oof. All the way up to about April 20th.
Yeah. Yeah, Baltimore, Minnesota, 3 in Cleveland, 3 in the Bronx, 4 in Detroit. All those teams, they all saw what happened this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be foolish to think that the big arms at the back end of the bullpen, whether it's Johan Duran in Minnesota, you're going to see Klaase again, a Devin Williams with the Yankees, the big arms that the Detroit Tigers have in the bullpen, they're going to do a lot like what, in my opinion, a lot like what we saw teams early on in 2015 do. All right, welcome to the party. Are you really about it? Because we're now going to test you. You've proven yourself that you're one of the upper echelon squads in Major League Baseball. Okay. You can play the game well, but can you play the other layer of the game, the mental game, well? I believe that's the biggest advantage the Royals have in this American League Central, to be quite honest with you. And it was my message yesterday on the On Deck show going into that finale. Regardless of what happens in this finale against Cleveland, and I know it's the third game, but regardless of what happens in this game, the Royals can handle it. you know, the clubhouse, and I've talked to you guys about this before, there aren't youngsters in that clubhouse. They're all vets. Listen, you know, Mike Hell's 25, Bobby's still 24. Age-wise, they're young, but they've all played at Yankee Stadium in October, at Camden in October. They've brought playoff baseball to Kansas City, and the ups and downs that they went through last year, what they learned from a Waka and a Hunter Renfroe and Adam Frazier, and, you know, when things got sideways last year, when they were able to hearken back to the difficulties that they faced early on in the season, ultimately helped buoy them in September when they lost Vinny Pasquantino. This team, I think, learned a lot about how long this 162-game march through the summer is. So, yeah, you lose two of three to Cleveland. You lose a guy like Jonathan India. Even if this gauntlet, I don't know exactly how many games it is, but let's say the Royals exit this stretch of, 7, 10, 13, 17, the three. So 23 games total. Let's say the Royals end these first 23 games with a record of 9-14, 8-15. They're fine. There's going to be no panic inside that clubhouse because, you know, 25 of the 26 have been a part of a playoff push. The only one that hasn't is Jonathan India. 24 of the 26 have performed in the postseason already. So, yeah, it's a very difficult start to the season. You know, so long as they can stay healthy throughout these first 23 games, I have absolutely no concern that regardless the record, the team will be in the mix into the summer and obviously into the fall.
Vern, you mentioned Annie Rogers earlier in her article after the weekend series. She mentioned not one starting pitcher had a quality start. Is that overreaction by me? Is that concern? How are you feeling about that?
Well, listen, the three that went, and Reagans and Lugo and Waka, these are guys that must be very good to great if this team's going to win the American League Central, which is, without question, their stated goal. You know, you got Chris Bubich going today, and listen, I believe in the team, obviously, that they have the talent. Chris Bubich is a very good pitcher. In fact, he was the highlight of that miserable 2023 season, the 2.5 starts that he made back in April. But I do feel as if Royals fans are forgetting how good Brady Singer and Alec Marsh were in the first half of last year. There were times where it wasn't difficult to make the case that Alec Marsh was the third best arm in the rotation, that Brady Singer was the third best arm in the rotation behind two of the top five finishers for the American League Cy Young, right? It went Reagans, Lugo, and then there were times it was Singer three, it was Marsh three. Again, I believe in Bubich. I like Michael Lorenzen. That doesn't mean that they could match what Singer and Marsh did a season ago. And if they can't match that, well then, where's the slack being picked up? Because again, we're also acknowledging that Reagans had a career year. Waka had the best season he's had in at least 7 years. And Lugo had, you know, runner-up for the American League Cy Young Award stuff. So, okay, if there's regression from those big three, is it being made up at the back end with Bubich and Lorenzen? Is it being made up with the bullpen? Yeah, the bullpen's improved, but a bullpen's only as good as its rotation allows it to be with rest. You look at the offense, where is any sort of regression? You know, Bobby Witt Jr. put together one of the eight best seasons we've ever seen in baseball history by a shortstop. Salvi, you know, first half of last year was an MVP candidate, went to the All-Star game at the age of 34. Can he do it again at 35? There are six players on this team, Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, and the top three in the rotation. They all had career years last year, and we're all kind of walking into this season assuming that they can do it again. You know, they could all be very good and fall short of the numbers that they put up last year. So who's picking it up? Is it Massey? How much can India do on his own? As he's not necessarily a power guy, great on base guy, but he's not a change the game with one swing of the bat type of guy. That's Massey, that's Melendez, that's Renfroe, and Dusty, I can hear you. I know you're thinking about Cags right now. But my point is, is you need something to come alongside the Reagans, the Lugo, the Wacas in this rotation, because to think that they're going to be able to match what they did last season might be pie in the sky. Am I concerned about the first three outings from them? No, no, no. Waka was grinding all day. Seth Lugo did not have his command. Neither did Cole Reagans. But in my opinion, certainly Michael Waka has earned the benefit of the doubt to think that he'll be better next time. Cole Reagans have no reason to believe that what we've seen since he came over in the trade is an aberration. No, no. Cole Reagans is one of the finest pitchers in the game. I still believe in Seth Lugo, and that's what allows me to believe that things won't get too sideways over the course of these first 23 games, because as we all learned last year, the next day's starting pitcher sure does have a way of making you feel better about today's loss.
When it comes to some concerns after three games, how much concern is there with the arm of Hunter Renfro that we've seen so far in right field, and also that bullpen that is supposed to be a little bit more cleaner this year?
Well, the bullpen I feel pretty good about. Carlos Estevez, Hunter Harvey, Lucas Urseg, I believe they've combined to allow one hit across five-plus innings of relief. Feel pretty good about the bullpen. Okay, Chris Stratton, the 13th pitcher on this 13-man pitching staff. No, you don't feel great about him, but if he doesn't perform better, he won't make it to the end of May, in my opinion. But you know what? Speaking of Chris Stratton, Chris Stratton's job on this team is when the team's down by three to plus runs, go in there and give us multiple innings. And he couldn't do that yesterday. Hunter Renfro, if you know, push comes to shove, the one thing you must be able to do is throw Carlos Santana out at the Carlos freaking Santana on a shallow fly ball to right field. You got to throw him out, man. I go back to, it's like 2013. Chris Getz doesn't get a bunt down, and I lost my mind on the postgame show because, Chris, the only reason you're on this team, you can't hit, you can't field, you can't run, you can lay down a bunt. If you can't do the one thing, boy, you're pretty tough to defend. Stratton has a shorter leash. He'll be lucky to see the beginning of June. If Hunter Renfro doesn't show what he can bring to this team, and there's also somebody in the minor leagues that is pushing him out, if those things happen, they're not going to wait as long to cut ties with a Stratton or a Renfro as they did last season with a guy like Will Smith. I don't think you'll see the Royals drag their feet like they did a season ago.
Well, the solution is just torpedo bats for everybody, right?
Yeah, those are pretty sweet.
Aren't they awesome, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I was a kid, I can't imagine those travel ball teams, little league teams. I would imagine every kid is pestering his parents right now, his or her parents, to get him one of those torpedo bats, because if the Yankees are doing it and putting up numbers like that, I would imagine you're going to see those everywhere right now.
I was going to say, how soon do we see them for every team in the big leagues? By May 1st, by the time the processing plants get these things moving?
Yeah, especially if the season's not starting off the way that you want it. Let's try to make a big adjustment before. If I'm MJ Melendez, I know I also have a short leash, and instead of going to Omaha, how about you send me a few of those torpedo bats and we'll try something different?
Yeah, Marv better get some of those.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Vern, you got an early show today. I don't think this is the last time you and I will talk, but an on-deck show at 12.
Did you guys call Kyle Isbell Bono earlier?
He
was that
like
correct?
He looks like Bono, yeah. That's Bob's you thing. Too, yeah.
Yeah, I never put that together, but now I can't get it out of my mind.
Yeah.
Hello,
he's still trying to find out what he's looking for, right?
That's right. Going to find it on the third baseman tree or the Joshua tree. That's the last one of those.
Nice.
Vern,
nice.
We'll talk to you at noon today.
At least the streets have names here.
That's right. Have a good on-deck show, and let's go take two out of three in Milwaukee.
Yeah, hopefully today's better than Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
And I hope that guy, Pat, whatever his name is, the manager, doesn't want to fight people, because that Pat Murphy guy looks like he's in every bar.
I love him.
I do, too.
Love him.
I do, too.
Yeah.
But everybody knows a Pat Murphy, and that guy's been in more bar fights than every other Pat Murphy out there.
And then doesn't remember him the next day.
That's right.
All right, Vern, I love you. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, too. Thank you.
There it is. Coming up on the other side, Aaron Rodgers threw to this receiver that plays for that Pittsburgh Steelers team. Who and why it means absolutely nothing. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5.
You win. You always do. Royals and Brewers today at 1:10. Again, Josh Verner, who just joined us, his on-deck show starts at 12. Of course, we're betting. Saw a funny story on the internet. Got to bring it up. Not sure I'd ever do this. Mac, I don't know about you. Jessica Simpson, remember her? Oh, yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
She's down.
She was married to J-Lo, right?
No. Nick Lachey.
I love Nick Lachey.
Of 98 Degrees.
Yeah. Wasn't she married to Joey Fat One? Who was married to Joey Fat One? Was that Jessica Simpson?
Mm-mm.
Or what's her name? You know who I'm thinking about.
I didn't know Fatone got a girl.
I thought Joey Fat One was married to, oops, Britney Spears.
No, her and Timberlake dated.
Okay.
And then she just did a dance routine that she's been doing lately in front of a fireplace with a knife while listening to his music. I'm not sure what's going on with Britney, but live your life, girl. But Jessica Simpson, we remember her. She said she's down to do anything to help her vocal cords be in tip-top shape. Mac, she said she's doing anything she can to keep her vocal cords in tip-top shape.
Hot tea. Whiskey.
Including Chinese herb cocktail that includes snake sperm.
Oh. Okay.
What?
To the ends of the earth, I will swallow you. Shout out Lord Huron. But yeah, she's going to drink snake sperm to help her vocal cords in a Chinese herb cocktail. So honey, tea, and lemon apparently can take a side seat, and you can have some venom semen.
Nope, I'm good.
Oh, wow.
I am good.
I think I would just stop.
Yeah, like, I'm out. Yeah, I'll take a rest. I'll see you next week.
In order to continue to talk on radio, I must drink snake sperm.
Nope.
I think I'll take the week.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see if this heals naturally. We'll figure it out at another date.
Ugh.
That's gross.
No, thanks.
Quite a laundry list of former boyfriends for Jessica Simpson.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Too bad Dusty Likens isn't on the list.
John Mayer, Adam Levine, Justin Timberlake, Tony Romo, Nick Lachey, Johnny Knoxville. A lot of names.
Yeah, that's a big list right
there. Jeremy Renner.
Really? Hawkeye?
Is she related to Lisa Renner?
She has nice lips. I always thought Lisa Renner was a babe.
I'm not a fan of the injected lips. Never have been.
So Aaron Rodgers is trying to inject himself into the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Apparently, he was throwing footballs with DK Metcalf.
That's right. That was the report this morning from Ian Rappaport. I don't know if Jordan Schultz said this as well, but apparently they were throwing at UCLA this weekend, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
Ooh.
I mean, we are really allowing Aaron Rodgers to kind of, you know, do his due diligence to find out, A, if this is the guy that we want, or B, if this is the guy that wants to be with us. And so apparently he's like speed dating now with everybody seemingly in the Pittsburgh organization. Who's more desperate at this time, Rodgers or the Steelers? And I think the easy answer is the Steelers, right? That's the easy answer. But you got to feel like Aaron Rodgers wants one more go at this to prove that New York was a fluke and it was the Jets and that he had nothing to do with that thing.
I think Rodgers is more desperate, in my opinion. I think Pittsburgh will just be like, well, we don't have to have you, but we're willing to let you know that we're here to have conversation and talk. Here's our newly acquired wide receiver, DK Metcalf. Somewhere George Pickens is like, well, what about me?
He'll be next, I'm sure. But like, do these guys interview Aaron Rodgers and then go back to Tomlin and be like, yeah, I don't want that guy around here.
I'm also in the same boat as Mac. Like, what's the hurry? Like, you clearly know what Aaron Rodgers is. You know what Pittsburgh will be.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, like,
well, because I think the season kind of gets started now, like that first, you know, session one of the offseason is beginning like next week. Maybe you'd like to have him in for OTAs and minicamp, because if he's not in for any of that, that's the excuse all season long. Well, he got there late. He wasn't part of the preseason nonsense.
Lack of chemistry.
Yeah, eliminate trash. All that kind of crap. So that's why I think there's a little bit of a rush to that. But I just wonder who's more desperate right now. Is it Pittsburgh giving more of the Heisman to Aaron Rodgers, or is Aaron Rodgers giving the Heisman more to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'd say Pittsburgh, because I mean, they need a starting quarterback. They need a quarterback. Forget starting. They need someone under center to throw the football. Aaron Rodgers sitting there. He's made his millions. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time when it's said and done. This is bonus for him. And he can sit back, wait his 4 weeks, Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy doesn't look good. Hey, Aaron, sorry, man. We thought this was going to work out. He'll have a call.
You want to bring Aaron Rodgers in week four, though, to a team? I don't. I don't want to bring him in at any week. But
I'm the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy blows and I've got this defense and Jefferson and I'm like, okay.
You think they trade for Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yeah. He'd be good in purple. They should try that.
Good regular season guy.
Yeah. Great regular season guy. Like Rick Barnes.
Yeah, Elite Eight's fine with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was about to say. Put some respect.
Who do you want to guess will be the next highest paid NFL football player?
It's got to be a quarterback. So who is it?
Lamar.
Okay.
John Harbaugh at the coach's breakfast this morning told everybody they've started negotiations with Lamar Jackson, and they will make him the highest paid player in NFL history.
How do you feel about that?
You're asking the wrong guy. Yeah. I'm a biased Lamar fan, so I love it.
I mean, you won the MVP twice. You've been the number one seed in the playoff situation. Your hiccup is Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah.
So if you know, you're kind of also like, what, you have the fourth best quarterback in football?
Yep. Yeah, I'd say
so. You go Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar?
Maybe Jackson at three.
Maybe Jackson at three. Yeah.
I'd be okay with it.
Like big year coming up for for Joe Burrow and his blonde hair.
We know quarterbacks get paid. There's a whole other island for quarterbacks get paid that are actually good.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys live on their own resort.
What you had mentioned something to me in break, and I think it's interesting to bring up. You said this is the last year of Travis Kelce. After this year, does Patrick Mahomes just go there with his hand out and go, all right?
Yeah, hand it over.
I mean, hey. Who's the best? What we just said, we could just literally break that last conversation down. Good quarterbacks get paid on their own island. The best quarterback has his own resort on that island. Mm-hmm. The best quarterback on that island is Patrick Mahomes.
And he's staying at a Days Inn right now.
Yeah.
He's got an nice Airbnb. Yeah,
it's not some of this money that he should be getting.
Gosh, no.
Dak Prescott money.
Well, the money that starts this year is way more than a Days Inn contract. Yeah. If you go look at his breakdown of what he's now starting to make as starting quarterback. But, right. I mean, like I said, like when Travis Kelce's gone and you've got a year three receiver and a year four receiver who you don't know if they're going to be on the team longevity-wise, and who knows what they're going to have at running back, the two guys they have now, one's on a contract, one's getting brought back to be, you know, your anchor. Mahomes going to be like, all right, guys, like, that era is over. Time to start the new era.
It is the new era.
Let's break open a new paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no negotiation. It's just, here's what my number is. Okay. Well, here's what Lamar got. He's got a couple MVPs, so do I. But he doesn't have these other things that really matter.
Yeah.
Pay me what really matters. And then the tush push is the other one. Sounds like it's going to get banned.
Looks like it's going to get banned. D'Amico Ryans. You know I've loved this guy for 2 years now. Here's his quote on the tush push. It's tough to punish a team for being really good at something.
Yeah, exactly.
I just became a bigger D'Amico Ryans fan. Stop them.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to stop the forward pass because Patrick Mahomes can throw the deep ball?
But it's health concerning.
Well, that's a data? Lie. Yeah. Well, we don't have any information. We're just going to say it concerns the health. Oh, okay. Well, in that case.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At an abundance of caution because of player safety, No,
do better. Stop it. Figure out a way to do it. It's baloney.
Somebody says Mahomes right now staying at Nick Saban's Airbnb. Showers no longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa.
Yeah.
Best line of the whole commercial.
It's a great commercial. It's a good one. There's a grill outside. Don't use it.
Yeah, and then he's using it. Mowing the lawn when they're all eating on the patio.
Yeah.
It is good. What a personality he has, and what a personality we have in the Final Four. We'll explain who we think wins it all and why we were always right about Duke. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.